our great God in heaven, we come to you, a people in need, this day. We ask that you would be with this brother as he brings his word and your word to us. We ask that you bless us, that you guide us, that you protect us as we go through this life. For this life is only temporary, Father. Eternity awaits. We ask, Father, that you give us a ready understanding of your word, that you give this brother a ready recollection of the scripture. We ask that you do so many things for us. And all we can say is, we love you. We ask these things through your most holy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And amen.
Thank you, Mr. Henderson. Thank you, Mr. Henderson. And why the consistent Yankee cap is on top? Because we wear a lot of hats in life. All of us have different hats. Dad hats, mom hat, pastor hat, work, your work hat, your grandma hat, your auntie hat, right? You got a lot of hats on. But as believers, we're supposed to come together like Yankee fans. I was waiting for Andrew's not even looking at me. Come together for a moment to be one, for one team, because there's really only one team. Jesus said there's one team. If you're not on that team, then you're not on the team. The Jesus, we'll get to that later, but if you're not on that team, the Jesus team, you're not on the team. And I pray if you didn't come in on Team Jesus today, I pray you leave on Team Jesus today. Thank you, Ed, for opening us up. I want to end, we've been in this series, I want to start where we ended in 21 and recap a little bit. Acts 21, 37 through 40 in the New Living Translation. Remember, everybody was all bent out of shape about Paul and roarings and stirrings and crowds. And Paul was about to be taken inside and said to the commander, "May I have word with you?" And the guy's like, "Do you know Greek?" And the commander asked with surprise, "Aren't you the Egyptian who led a rebellion some time ago, took 4,000 assassins out into the desert?" "No," Paul replied, "I'm not that guy. I'm a Jewish citizen of Tarsus in Cilicia, which is an important city." There's a reason he says that. It's part of the Roman province. "Please let me talk to these people," the commander agreed. So Paul stood on the stairs and motioned for the people to be quiet. The murderous, angry mob. Paul motioned for the quiet. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will come in a moment and quiet you in an important part. And it's important. It's good that you know the language of the people, right? We talked about that. Know the language that you're called to. That's an important part of, he's going to speak to them. But if you're speaking without the anointing of God, and you're just trying to speak their language, you don't have God, God is asking us to just, not just speak the language we're supposed to, the people are called to, but invest yourself that his presence is with you when you speak. Even angry mobs have to listen a minute. Right? It's important. It says, "Then, please let me talk to the people." The commander agreed and he motioned for them to be quiet. Soon a deep silence enveloped the crowd and he addressed them in their own language. Remember, that was a point from last week. It's good to learn the language of the people that you're sent to. But here's an interesting little twist. So often we just want, God knows your language. He created you. It's hard to hear anybody else's language clearly until you learn his as a believer, because you'll just misinterpret everything. You don't know God's language, and you bring something other than God just because you know a cultural language. I can speak Spanish fairly decently, but without God, it was more like, I know cuss words. It's when I first learned my Spanish was cuss words in Florence. That's where I learned them. Your friends, when you're not saved, that's the first thing they teach you. Dude, you need to learn how to cuss in Spanish. Like, well, yeah, I do. Anybody else? Learn the language didn't bring Jesus to that situation at all. Learn the language, bring the anointing. Acts 22 is where we're going to jump into. 1-2. "Brothers and esteemed fathers," Paul said, "listen to me as I offer my defense. when they heard him speaking their own language, the silence was even greater. When you speak in someone else's language, there's a better chance they're going to pay attention. Notice that? If I started whipping out just something, you guys, Samoan right now, if I just started talking to Samoan, for a while, you'd be like, and after a while, you're like, I don't know, man. I'm going to get on my phone and play Candy Crush. I don't know what he's talking about, you know. Though someone just won something, see? Acts 22, 3 through 5. Then Paul said, I'm a Jew born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, and I was brought up here. I was brought up here. This is my hood. I was cut my teeth here, and I was educated here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. Pause in just a second, Bob. I'm going to slow roll at points. You're going to think, wow, Pastor, we'll never get out on time. Here's a history point. To the Hebrew people, Gamaliel was the goat, or in the conversation of the goat, the greatest of all time teachers. He's basically saying, look, man, you got me on trial because about Jewish laws and Jewish ways, and you're anti-Jewish. He goes, none of that, but here's the truth. I was raised here in this hood. I was brought up right here, and actually I studied under who you all consider the goat of teachers. Michael Jordan taught me hoop. That's who I played for. The goat taught me. I'm just letting you all know, like, you're all yelling at me about Jewish law. I want you to tell us, raise and born here. And the goat was one of my teachers. As his student, I was carefully trained. Carefully trained. You can't just hang out with Gamaliel back in the day. You got to be trained. He's like wax on, wax off Daniel-san, you know? He was, get it done. I was his student. I was carefully trained in our Jewish laws and customs. I know all. I became very zealous and to honor God in everything I did, just like all of you today. I understand zealous. Anybody understand zealous? If you're a fan of a sport, you've jumped off the couch before and screamed. It's not rational. It's not calm. It's passionate. I have a very big problem because I am 100% passionate when I believe and I'm in something. And I have to learn balance sometimes. Spirit and in truth, but just because you have, it's called the passion of Christ. If you don't have passion for serving God, you will never give your head. You got to have passion. So often we don't have passion for ourselves and some passion. We're just lukewarm. What we do, what you do. I just, you know, church is part of my many things. I got Jesus. I got Buddha. I got, you know, charcuterie. I don't know. I got stuff. Just whatever snacks. I'm just, you know, it requires passion. Paul saying, I was zealous for what I did. God sent me on a mission. I was all in. He's telling them, under Gamaliel, go. Trained carefully. I became zealous to honor God in everything I did. Just like you guys say, recognize your passion. You got me up here. You won't tear me apart. That takes passion. Unless you're highly angry, it's hard to want to tear someone apart. Like, you know what? I'm just so chill right now. I could tear you apart. I never heard that before. You know, he's like, yeah, you're all zealous today. I see it. He says, and I persecuted. I persecuted and I'm guilty of it. I thought God said I was killing for the cause. I was actually the problem. You know, that's where I pulled over and said, that's me too. I understand, Saul. I get Saul of Tarsus right there. I was an ignoramus, arrogant. I, like Saul, became a real ninja assassin about killing Christians. Anybody before you came to Jesus could be known to slander or make occasional jokes at kooky Christian believers. Raise your hand if you're not as scared. I ain't as scared. There we go. I see that hand. Did anyone else consider themselves a critic before you came to Christ? Y'all. Ever get into slamming, verbally destroying kooky Christians? Just killing it different than Paul? Sadly, I can relate to that. I could have been seen as a verbaler basher of non-Catholics in particular. non-Catholics were wing nuts. It was true, Hallie. You should have seen my Saul. I was terrible. And of born-agains, they were either flakes or fakes. Say, no fake Jesus. But I labeled everybody, right? I got this on here today. I wear it every day. It usually has something specifically for the cozy men. And it's fallen off, and I got friends that are jewelers and need to get it fixed. Thank you for your help, but I just haven't done it. But this chain came to me in my dad's belongings. There weren't dog tags on his dog tags on it. It was his brother Joe was a hero in the war. And he came with that, and like, Alex, what's this stuff with the Catholic Church? They're making the scapula, and had the saints and the hanging around. You remember what I'm talking about? Saying, yeah, they make you, and that came with them too, these things. And I was thinking about soldiering today and how I was a soldier, not for Jesus. I was a soldier for myself, and slamming Christians was something I did. So I could relate to Saul. When it came to followers of the way, believers, most of the time it was roasting season. You know, okay, how you doing? Hallelujah to you too, brother. What can I get for 1995? Until I had my experience with Christ. Until I really saw and understood who he was for myself. Before that, I could have been considered definitely on the team persecutor side. Anybody else? Anybody ever joined Team Persecutor? Yeah. I was on that team. According to Jesus, there's only two sides. There's only two sides. His way, his side, or all other sides. Pick back up in the scripture. I persecuted the followers of the way, hounding some to death. Paul's like, hey, I was sent out under Gamaliel with orders, and I was slaying Christians. I was hounding them to death. That's what I was doing. Arresting both men and women and throwing them in prison. The high priest and the whole council of elders can testify this is so. He's like, they know. Look at them over there with their robes on and their hats. They know. They sent me out. They're all there. He's like, right? Am I telling a story? Did you send me out? Was I raised here? Was I taught here? Was I like the star pupil of the star teacher? Didn't you send me there? If it wasn't so, say up. Oh, you quiet. No. The high priest and the whole council of elders, they can testify that so. For I received letters from them. Letters to our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the followers of the way from there to Jerusalem in chains to be punished. Pause. He was given letters from them. He was their number one rep, and they all knew it. And if they can't believe what they're about to hear, they knew he was hell-bent on destroying the way. He was not up for joining. He wasn't like, I'm going to go see what this way is all about. Looks really cool. He's like, I'm going to kill all of them. What do you guys say? Like, do it. And they knew they also knew he followed the Old Testament to a T. They knew it. My next point is very mature and will be rough on the soul. Whenever you saw it for the first time or you see it for the first time, this next point, it should not just break your heart, it should wreck your heart if it hasn't already. Jesus, who I love, who I adore, whom I am eternally grateful for. I was once a persecutor of the brethren. Some of you agreed that you were too, and that should devastate us. But I'm not done with that point. Don't let it interrupt you where you think I'm going. If you and I were persecutors, then we're actually working for the persecutor of the brethren. The devil himself was my boss. By default, our persecution, we used to work for the enemy of our very souls. You thought you were working for God even sometimes. I'll protect the Catholic Church from you kooks. Even though I didn't do anything, they said. You thought you were working for God, but you're working for the other team. How I truly felt, I thought was best expressed in emoji. I have a picture. First, I was shocked. I don't work for the enemy. I was a good guy, but I wasn't working for the devil. I was selfish, but I wasn't working for the devil. I wasn't like, we were working for Team Jesus? No. Were you pursuing brother? Yeah, the Team Devil. Oh, horror. Horror, Hondro. And then I was angry. I wanted revenge. It's like, I'll go after him now. Where's the devil? I'll show me the devil. I got a New York frame of mind. And then after I was mad, I went back to my heart being broken. Lord, I work for the enemy of the man who I love, who rescued me, who died for me. And I work for the enemy when I'm not working for you. That's the most terrible point in the world. Here, you don't believe me? I'm going to bring up the horrifying truth in black and white. Revelations 12, 10 through 12. A little extra acts today. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens as it came. Has come at last salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of our Christ. It's come at last. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the serpent, the devil, dragon boy. The one who accuses them before our God day and night, the accuser of the brethren. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb. We sang about it today. And by their testimony, it's all about him. Share your Jesus story. And they did not love their lives so much. They didn't love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heaven, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing he has little time left. If you were once an accuser, a mocker, an opposer of his church, then once you work for the accuser, the devil's side, the persecutor of the brethren, put my emoji slide back up. I hope you felt all that. And if you never felt it, I hope you feel it now. I pray that if you still haven't had that connection to Jesus, I'll stop church right here. I won't preach another minute because there's no other important point than that. Nothing I'm going to say is going to be more clever or more funny and more informative or more educational than the realization if you're not working for Team Jesus and receive the forgiveness he made for us, then we work for the persecutor of the brethren. And if you don't want that, you can change that right this minute. Right this minute. It's okay if you need to repent for that attitude, that behavior. You're in good company. Ask around. Anybody? They can ask you if they're like, I don't know, is Jesus real? Tell me what he did for you. And you raise your hand if someone can ask you that. Seriously. I want to see your hands up if you're part of the church and they can really ask you. Because I want to know who really believes it so they can be sent to them. Look around. Ask somebody. Ask God yourself. Go read it in his word. Jesus is awesome. He is awesome. And he did what he said he was going to do. And he said who he was, he was. And because of Jesus, you could be transformed into a new creation. Jesus said that. So I can stop a key if you want to do it. Anybody want that right now? We'll do it. If not, I'll grab you after church. We'll do it. Say this, no more working for the other side. No more living for the other side. If you're grateful to Jesus, say thank you. Unpause, Bob. I'm unpausing here in a second. So Saul, the Hebrew of Hebrews, was assigned to the job to bring the followers of the way to Jerusalem, bring them in chains, right? And for what reason? To be punished. That was his job. Acts 22, 6 through 11. I was on the road approaching Damascus about noon. So Paul's like, right, I trained with this guy. I was a ninja for persecuting the brothers. I had papers. Y'all knew it. I knew Hebrew law inside and out. I'm on my way to bring them back in chains and punished. And I was on the road approaching Damascus about noon. A very bright light from heaven suddenly shone down around me. And I fell to the ground. And I heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" From the ground, he says, "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. And the voice replied, "I'm Jesus, the Nazarene, the one you're persecuting. Say, oh me, oh me, oh my." The people with me saw the light. They saw the light, but they didn't understand the voice speaking. You can see things in church all you want, but if you don't hear God speaking to you, it's just the light, man. The light's awesome. Let it change things in your life. Let it expose things you could be changing for good, healthy you. But I encourage you, go beyond just seeing the light and look for what he's saying and understand him. It's important. I saw the light, but they didn't understand the voice speaking to me. I asked, "What should I do, Lord?" There's a difference now. He's not Jesus the Nazarene, leader of the way, who I got to crush. He changed his verbiage from the ground. I fell to the ground and said, "What should I do, Lord?" That's an excellent question when you're on the ground. When you're on the ground, when you've fallen on the ground, you've been humbled in something. You've got to acknowledge, yeah, I need to repent from that sin. When sometimes in my life, before I got that, I had to be knocked off my high horse too. Anybody else so prideful that you had to be knocked off a horse? Verbally, maybe, physically. I had to have my knee snapped. I know it was God. Well, God would do that. I know it was God. He touched Jacob's hip. He didn't walk the same. I didn't walk the same. Why? Because an arrogant boy needed to learn how to humble himself. And I accept that. I know that. I never want to learn that lesson again. And every time I get close, I pray he grabbed me by the shirt collar and go, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Pull over. Don't be Saul. Father, help me." I asked, "What should I do, Lord?" And the Lord God told me, he said, "Get up. Get up." Getting up starts with you getting off the ground you just fell on. Let me say that. I need you awake this morning for this one. Getting up means getting up from the ground you fell on. If you've fallen and you say, "Fallen, I can't get up." God says, "This is your season, get up. If you've fallen, it's time to get up. Don't just lay there, oh, I see the light and I hear your voice, but I can't get up." He said, "No, this is the season. If you've fallen, get up from where you fell." It's the only place you can get up from. Say, "Get up. It's time to get up. Get up and go. Get up and go into Damascus, and there you'll be told everything you're to do." I bet Paul loved that, being told what to do. I hate being told what to do. Paul's about to learn authority in a different way. Paul's about to learn all sorts of stuff. And he's just been humbled, right? I was blinded by the intense light. When I understood really for the first time, when I saw him clearly for the first time who he was, it seemed everything was so illuminated. I was like, "Did you read?" I'm grabbing the scripture. "Pastor, did you read this? He so loved the world." He's like, "No, bro, that wasn't my message." "I know, but do you see it?" "Well, yeah, man, I just preached it and you just heard it. So yeah, I saw that." "Yeah, I was in. I was passionate." Everything about him seems so illuminating and obvious to me when it wasn't before. I went from mocker to go, "Oh, he is who he says he is." I was blind. He says, "I was blind and I had to be led by the hand to Damascus by my companions." We all do. When you first really encounter God, he often sends a helping hand. Ever notice that? Lead you by the hand where you're supposed to go. Why? Because you've been blind. You don't know how to navigate really well yourself. And if you're not careful, you're blind. You're going to fall out an open window. Acts 22:12. Could be a part two today. You guys might be here until dawn. Who knows? Acts 22:12-16. A man named Ananias lived there. Not the Ananias from Acts 6. Why? Because he's dead. Why is he dead? As a result of self-inflicted lying and deceiving. Ananias is dead. That's not the dead Ananias. This Ananias was a godly man, deeply devoted to the law. Devoted to the law and well regarded by, say, proven. This guy's well regarded. This guy, people think, hey, this guy knows this stuff.
Right.
Regarded by all the Jews of Damascus. So all the Jews recognize this guy. He came and stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, regain your sight." And at that very moment, I could see him. So I could imagine if Paul's telling the story to these people, hey, remember I sent, I was going to crush everything and kill everybody, and they're terrible, and this God sent us, and woo, give me the letters, and I'm a ninja in the word, and wah, I'm going to get them. And all of a sudden, bang, I'm in the light, and something shows up, and God says this, and then I'm blind, and all of a sudden, dudes, they took me by the hand because I was still blind, and Ananias, who's respected by y'all, he came up to me and said, be able to see, and I could. Aren't you excited? They were not as excited. Then he told me, the God of your ancestors has chosen you to know his will. Awesome. Who wants to know his will? Yeah. Are you guys excited? I was going to kill him, but that God came up and then he gave me his will. You all excited? Oh, it's quiet still over the crowd. And to see the righteous one. I've been chosen to see the righteous one and hear him speak. And then, you know, he can say that because there's many examples in the Old Testament of God speaking to men of God. That's not foreign to them. They know this. Abraham started out, who they put, like Moses, the law writer. They know, that's not uncommon for God to speak to guys. Yeah, sure. He does that. Okay. All the time. Ask Gamaliel. He'll tell you. He taught me. For you are to be his witnesses. I'm to be his what? You are to be his witness. What? What did he say to you? I'm to be his witness. Okay. Telling everyone. Who? Telling everyone. What? Who? God said this to you? Yeah. God said, don't kill these people. You're persecuting me. Now I want you to go tell everyone. Tell everyone what you've seen and heard. We'd obey a God on that, right? You all would, right? You got to obey. God knocked you off our chair. He's like, you got it? You with me? You sent me out, but look what God's doing. And then they said to me, well, that happened. He said, what are you waiting for, Saul? Get up. Get up again. Get up. What? Because you have to get up a lot in your life. I don't know if you're right with Jesus. If you're just like, I've been on the stallion the whole time. I've never made a mistake. And I just cruise through Christianity. Woo! Some on me with a serpent safari. Come on. Jesus is smooth sailing, man. If that's your experience, I would like to know what you need prayer for, because if that's all you know, you're about to be tested in something. What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. What are you waiting for? Get up, receive, revive that dead life. Have your sins washed away. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord. So here's this question. What are you waiting for? Have you fallen down in something and not got up? What are you waiting for? Have you gone to Jesus with it? Well, what are you waiting for? You want to keep your sin? What are you waiting for? You want to be judged by it? If we keep it, we're judged by it. You want the persecutor of the brethren to be your eternal boss? You want that to be your label? There goes an accuser of the brethren. Hey, tip your hat. Yeah, I'm an accuser too. No, man, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm the opposite of the accuser of the brethren. Have you had your sins washed away by the Lord? I mean, truly, if you haven't, you don't know if you have, then you need to get that done. What are you waiting for? Why wait on that? Why ever wait on that? Here's a recap so far. You ready? Saul, persecutor number uno. He's number one on the persecutor depth chart. You want the best persecutor in town? Send Saul. All the leaders knew, they sent him. Boom, Jesus. God grabbed him. Get up and get to it. All right, the recap so far. Here we are. Acts 22, 17 through 21. After I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple and fell into a trance. I saw a vision of Jesus saying to me, hurry, leave Jerusalem, for the people here won't accept your testimony about me. But Lord, I argued, that's another way I'm a lot like Saul of Tarsus. But Lord, I argued, I don't want to do that. But Lord, I argued, that apple looks good. Adam ain't around. This guy seems cool. But Lord, I argued, why do I got to give that up? It's not even Lent. But Lord, I argued, so I got to go to work today? Ever argue with the Lord? Just me and Kirsten. We're in the wrong place today. Everybody else is like, we got stones in our pocket. You say one more thing, you're arguing with the Lord. I argued with the Lord before. And it's not like in his face, like old school, like don't do that to your Italian mama thing. You know, not like, you dare you. Never, not that way. But it's like, Lord, are you sure about that? I do you're sure about that a lot. You sure about that? I don't want to go back to Samoa. Why? Because I'm mad. And I lost a lot of money. And it's far away and it's hot. I need air conditioning and I don't like the food. Are you sure you want me to go back? I've argued with the Lord. Anyone else? Just Kirsten and I still. Okay, good, good. But Lord, I argued, they certainly know that in every synagogue, if I go do this, in every synagogue, I imprisoned and I beat those who believed in you. I beat them, put them in prison. And I was in complete. He's being honest with God right here, isn't he? Being honest with us. He's repenting to the Lord and he's repenting to us every time someone reads this throughout history. His repentance is on paper. In every synagogue, I imprisoned, I beat those who believed in you, and I was complete. And I try not to cry because I get passionate. Sometimes I just can't. So I'll cry at a Snicker commercial like, man, you never had dad issues. You won't cry at those things. But Jody and I get it. I miss my dad. I wish I could have told people, thank you for the Snickers bar. Thank you for the chain. You know? I could be watching comedy sometime, and I'll be like, my wife or daughter like, what's the matter with him? He needs, is his hormones off? What's up over there? You know? And I was in complete agreement when your witness, Stephen, was killed. I said, do it. Kill that guy. Kill the brethren. I stood by and kept the coats they took off when they stoned him. I participated in this killing of the brethren that you loved. But the Lord said to me, go. Go, for I will send you. So that he's in, right? He's in the story, like, right? You did. You were killing people. And you died. Yeah, you killed that Stephen cat. And you were putting people back. That was, and God said what to you? Yeah, I was that guy. Yeah, we knew you. We sent you out. I got you. We're following you. And God gave you a message? Yeah. The Lord said, what did he say to you? He said, go, for I will send you away to the Gentiles. If you're a Gentile, raise your hand. Just in the bathroom so we can get away with it. Okay. Acts 22, 21 through 23. But the Lord said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. The crowd listened until Paul said that word. Wow. Think about that. Why are they so torqued? Wow. Why would people want other people to be eternally judged? Why would someone's heart go, you know what? You had us till then, but we want no one to go to heaven but us. Everyone else should burn for eternity. They were torqued that God had a plan. They all began to shout, away with such a fellow. He isn't fit to live. But I bet you're number one guy. You remember me? Under Gamaliel. I know. They yelled and threw off their coats and tossed handfuls of dust into the air. Now listen. I wanted to put a video up of Charlton Heston, my childhood Moses. And then I realized he played in the Planet of the Apes before that. And some of you don't recognize that. And I could not find the old video footage of these apes throwing dust in the air like maniacs. This is the closest I came. I got a picture. Yeah. This is them. Ah! God said what? Yeah, you'll give me. Everyone gets to go to heaven if they do what? Except no, only us. Blah. Kill him. They're freaking out like Planet of the Apes. Throwing dust in the air. Losing their mind. Is that really their hearts? How dare God sacrifice himself? How dare God you ever think that, then we're off already. How dare God sacrifice himself to make the way for forgiveness for the whole world? How dare he? We thought he was just going to be, I was going to be his special little boy. He's got other special little boys. How dare he? How dare God sacrifice himself to make the way for the forgiveness of the whole world? That too makes no sense if you say it out loud, right? Like if you say it, just saying it that way, go, man, that makes no sense. Also, come on, man. Say, come on, man. God told all of you in your Old Testament scriptures, and I don't have these Bibles, don't freak out, but in Isaiah 49, 5 through 6, Isaiah 56, 7 through 8, God's plan was eventually grafted in all the nations. All the word that they study, all the shouters in Hebrew, all the people that Gamaliel taught, that Isaiah was taught to them as well. And it said, at some point in time, I'm going to graft in the whole world. And Paul said, that's what we're at right now. Get up. And they're like, no, we'd rather kill you than get up. We'd rather be a special little boy than get up. I don't want to change. I'd rather just stay me, the persecutor of the brethren. I've been dense before too. Ever been dense? Ever miss obvious stuff? This week, I asked my wife where my glasses were, and she looked at me like I lost my mind. She goes, they are on your head. I said, what? Your reading glasses? They're on your head. Oh, well, there they are. Ever look through the whole house for your phone and find it exactly where you already looked twice? Hallie, you're my people. Humans are flawed. Humans are dense. But humans also make up his church. Yeah, we are the church, Hallie. But you know, that being true, that's never an excuse to not get up from the fall. It's not an excuse not to get up and get going just because I was dense or because I was arrogant or because I was a persecutor of the brethren. Acts 22 through 24. The commander brought Paul inside and ordered him lashed with whips to make him confess his crime. He wanted to find out why the crowd had become so furious. When they tied Paul down to lash him, Paul said to the officer standing there, it's illegal for you to whip a Roman citizen, no? Is it legal for you to whip a Roman citizen? Just checking. A citizen who hasn't been tried? Is this legal what you're about to do? Think about it, fellas. I'm trying to save you later because this is going to go bad for you. Yeah, I know I can make a go. I'll take it. Because me, I'm thinking if I'm Saul and I just got converted, I'll take it. Right? I can't wait to tell the Roman officers. You're all going to be punished for whipping me. I'll take the whipping, but you're going to get yours too. Nanny, nanny, poo-poo. Is it legal for you to whip a Roman citizen who hasn't been tried? When the officer heard this, he went to the commander and asked, what are you doing? He passed the buck. What? Wait a minute. What do you command me to do? What were you doing? Ever pass the buck at work when you did something wrong and you know you can pass it to somebody else? Never did it before Jesus even. Like, no, man, I didn't kick that fresh fry out of the freezer. Must have been Wilson Groff. He's always here cleaning, you know. He's right. Just kicked it under there. I forgive him. I love him. When the officer heard this, he went to the commander and said, what are you doing? This man's a Roman citizen. I say, uh-oh. Uh-oh. Acts of the Apostles 22, 27 through 29. So the commander went over and asked Paul, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? Yes, I certainly am, Paul replied. And the guy's like, well, I am too, he muttered. It says he muttered, I'm one too. And it cost me a lot of money. Paul answered, I'm a citizen by birth, which basically says I'm better than you. That's what basically Paul's saying, like, you purchased your citizenship, great, but I'm better than you. I was born here, and you're about to whip me, so, uh-oh. Paul answered, but I'm a citizen by birth. And the soldiers who were about to be interrogated, who were about to interrogate Paul, they're like, they quickly withdrew when they heard he was a Roman citizen, like, oh, ooh, oh, thank you for stopping us from doing that. And the commander was frightened because he had ordered him bound and whipped. Say, uh-oh. It's good to know the language, isn't it? Thank God Paul wasn't like executed for being an assassin leader of an Egyptian guy. Thank goodness he wasn't beaten within a shred of his life because he could speak the language. Go, no, hey, a citizen. Should you be doing this? Sometimes the language will save your life. Knowing the language of the people around you. But if you know the language of people around you, it will really save their lives if you have Jesus in it. We're sent to save lives, and it's all about the language we bring and who we bring it to. Acts 22, and we're going to end right here. Pretty much on time. 22:30. We up there, Bob? There we go. Thank you, sir. The next day, the commander ordered the leading priest into the session with the Jews' high council. He wanted to find out. Of course you do. When you're next in line, you should want to find out. But now it's time to find out. Sometimes we react without finding out, you know. He wanted to find out what the trouble was all about, so he released Paul to have him stand before them. Cliffhanger. Go ahead and stand before me. Cliffhanger. If you don't know Jesus, or if you've fallen down and you need to get up, if you have been a persecutor, or if you've been persecuted, if you've walked through the valley of the shadow of death this week, or you've surfed like smooth sailing Jesus, I pray that you as church wouldn't unite under a Yankee hat, wouldn't unite under a Sixer hat, though there are plenty of room on board if you'd like to. But we would remember the only hat that really matters and the only team that we really play for. And we'd be empowered again to let our hearts be broken by the Lord. And we would be unafraid to take that testimony, no matter how vicious the crowd is against us. We'd take it outside these walls, and we would be willing to change lives with it. So, Father, we are your church. Sometimes, Father, we fall down, but we stand together today to get up under your banner. We stand together to get up and to go, Father. So send us out today into the highways and byways. The folks that aren't here today, wherever they're at, anoint them, Father, to bring with the people's language they're with, the truth of who you are, Father. Authentic Jesus would be released in your church today, and it would galvanize us under one team, Father, and you would be proud of us, your good and your faithful servants. Anoint us, Father, this week to do that job for you. In Jesus' name, amen.